You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Secretary Mayorkas, for the record, are you aware or have you authorized CBP agents to release illegal aliens into America without identifying, screening, or vetting them properly, or harvesting even basic biometric data like fingerprints?
Congressman, our nation's sovereignty stands strong, and our brave men and women in the Border Patrol and throughout U.S. Customs.
Are you aware, have you authorized CBP agents to release illegal aliens into America without having properly vetted, identified them, or collected at least basic biometric data like fingerprints?
Congressman,
I mean, you got millions coming across.
Millions coming across? It's a simple question. There is no answer, no simple answer, because there is no answer. Ah, dog, I'd drive you crazy trying to get anything out of Mayorkas. And we're going to do more of it later. Thank you for joining us, as always. Glad to have you. Here we are, November 21. Wow, we're that close to Thanksgiving? That means we're that close to Christmas and the end of the year? Whoa, it's gone by in a hurry, has it not? We are live streaming as I speak at rumble.com. You can go to rumble.com, enter in the search engine, one word, Larry Connors, USA. And that'll take you right to our page. A lot of you would do that now, and I thank you for it. Welcome. Others will probably have to do it later because you can't right now. I understand. And don't forget, every program that we air goes up as a podcast within shortly after we finish a program. Quentin has them up normally than 15, 20 minutes after we go off the air. I mean, that's how fast this guy is. So you don't miss anything. But I'm going to focus a lot today on our security, our Department of Homeland Security, our Secretary of Homeland Security. With the GOP taking control of the House, there should be, there better be, some impeachment hearings regarding Mayorkas and his treasonous act of opening up our borders and not doing anything to close it down and make us safe. This does not even include those that we brought over from Afghanistan. We'll get into that in a moment. And the same thing for President Biden. Oh, Larry, you're just trying to play politics. No. Listen to me. This program is first and foremost patriotic. I don't care if you're a Democrat, you hate Trump, you love him. I don't care. I don't care if you're an independent. I don't care about your religion. I don't care about your sexual preference. Are you a patriot? And if you're a patriot, you want this country secure. Is there any other country where people are trying their best to get their way into the country illegally? No. But we're told we are systemically racist and bad, and yet they still keep coming. But the problem is, among those who really want to better their life, they're cutting in front of the line of those who are would be legally brought in, and two, they're not being properly vetted. We don't know who they are. We don't know who they are. We're going to get into that in more detail. Oh, by the way, Missouri Senator Josh Hawley also drilling Mayorkas specifically on the Afghan refugees. You don't want to miss that. The DOJ continues ignoring increased attacks on pregnancy centers, pro-life groups. Since the SCOTUS ruling on Roe v. Wade, but the DOJ has attacks on abortion clinics in January 6th, always under investigation. Our guest, Sean Carney, CEO and president of 40 Days for Life, a pro-life organization, will talk about that. Plus, the AG appointing special counsel to investigate former President Trump on criminal charges. Perfect timing. And James Carafano from the Heritage Foundation with a story that screams, this is wrong. I don't care what your thoughts are. This is wrong. A funeral home that had refused to handle the remains of an American soldier killed in the Philippines in World War II. It's history, and yet we should learn from history. You might guess that it had to do with his race. You'd be correct. you might be wrong on what you're thinking about this race. That story coming up. And also we're going to look at how conservatives can have more wins. They can have more wins than we had, but it starts with not fighting with each other. And two of the biggest names on the Republican face right now are Trump and DeSantis. We cannot win if they're constantly battling each other. And they both have egos. I would say Trump is considerably higher. And I'd say Trump needs to dial it back considerably. And him going to California to get McCarthy to run with him, that would be a stupid idea. But we'll break it down for you. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I personally know at least three people who got sick from mold. It's not uncommon for homes, businesses to have a leak somewhere, and it doesn't take long for mold to start growing. Well, of course, I recommend Wellington Environmental. You don't want a company that's just going to clean up the water. Wellington has 34 years of experience. In fact, hospitals often have Wellington inspect and treat mold. Do what they do. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Call Wellington for a mold inspection, air testing, professional remediation. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rated with a Better Business Bureau. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner. Better. Safer. Be well with Wellington. I want you to know something special. John Beal Roofing constantly gives back to the community in so many ways, supporting more charities and good causes than any other local roofing company. Why? It's the right thing to do. Keep that in mind when you need a new roof, plus quality work at the lowest price, guaranteed. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
And we're down, we go.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
People see that you're leading, and they see that you mean what you say and say what you mean, and that you're willing to and you're able to deliver results. We get people to vote for us who may not be in our party, and that's really what you need to do. You don't win by 1.5 million votes if you only get your own party. And so what we were able to do, yes, obviously we got a lot of Republicans turning out because they were supportive, and we appreciate that. But, you know, we won independents by between 15 and 20 points. We probably won 60% of Hispanics statewide. That's a record. No Republican has ever done that. I don't think anyone's ever done that. We won women. That hasn't been done by a Republican governor for 20 years.
Those are the words of Ron DeSantis, the Florida governor, talking about how he was able to turn that state red, and in red in areas that had never been red. We'll break it down in more detail in a moment, but this was very big. I mean, this was the bright spot out of the midterm elections. I mean, we had some wins here and there. We got the House. That was a big thing, but there was no tsunami, no red wave of any type. It was a hit-miss type thing, and there were obviously areas conservatives should have won. And by that, I don't mean just Republican conservatives. I'm talking about independent conservatives. I'm talking about Democrat conservatives. Yes, they exist. Believe me, they exist. They are not part of the ultra leftist woke crowd that is running around trying to ban all gas vehicles in California by 2035, and to kill a baby up to the moment of birth, and to go after anyone that seems to be different than them. And yet they will claim we're all about inclusivity. They are not. They're not inclusive. even on members of their own party. They're not inclusive. If you don't agree and walk in step with the squad, and they're going to get stronger with Pelosi out, who do you think's going to take control of the Democrat House? Hakeem Jeffries, it looks like. He's also part of the squad. He's been kind of under the radar a little bit, letting the others take some of their remarks and be hit in the mouth with it for because often defunding police, open prison cells, and everything else. Then you get John Fetterman, now elected as a senator, who wants to do the same kind of thing. I mean, do you expect they're going to make this country safer or more dangerous? Now, with that question in mind, does it make any difference to you if you're Democrat, Republican, or independent? No, your first safety, your first concern should be safety of your family. Right now, the party that appears to be closer to delivering on that would be the Republican Party. But I got to tell you, we do have some spineless Republicans. And I'm going to be calling them out as we move forward. If they don't stand for what they said they would when they got elected, especially House of Representatives, they know. They know day one when they're sworn in January, they need to start running again because in 2 years they're out for re-election. And a third of the Senate members will be up for re-election next time around. Those who won this time, well, they're in for 6 years unless something happens. But the biggest deal is this Trump and DeSantis battle and how it's going to be resolved. Now, they had this last weekend, of course, a big gathering down at Mar-a-Lago. And a lot of it had to do with, you know, trying to bring everybody together and talk about our where we were good and where we were not good when it came down to the midterm elections. And keep in mind that Biden at this time is still apparently going to run. He hasn't said it officially, but he's walked all around it repeatedly. As if he can't walk off the way off the stage, but either way, he's still walking around muttering, "Oh, well, I can't say it officially, could I be under certain regulation and everything else?" But he would be 80 years old to run in 2024. 80. Let me do some quick ciphering from my birth date. He's 80, minus and carry and subtract and then add that, and then sometimes divide that. And a percentage point, I think. So he will be 80. That'll be, 22 years older than I am right now? Oh, you say my math is wrong? Matt, Quentin, don't be in there laughing at me like that. I would tell you again and again, I first had real math in third grade, and I remember because it's the longest 3 years of my life. But if Biden, in his previous election, was able to play the so-called basement politics and hide out and not really come out and be seen. And everybody mocked him, said, there's no way he can win, no way he can. And yet he did, didn't he? Oh, you could say it was stolen. And you could say it was fraud. And I'll address that in a moment. But let's just talk about this tactic of hiding out. Joe Concha wrote a piece for The Hill. And it was titled, How the Basement Strategy Worked for the Democrats with Biden, and it's still working. And in other words, they're learning how to win without really ever running or even showing up or doing nothing more than ordering more Cheetos while they sit in their beanbag.
The basement strategy is working for Democrats. Joe Concha wrote that, and he joins us now. Good morning to you, Joe. I guess my first question is, how is it working?
We saw it work during the 2020 election, right? I mean, Joe Biden blamed COVID for not running a traditional campaign. It turns out largely he's doing the basement strategy as president as well, right? Just 4 solo press conferences for Biden this year. For context, Trump had 35 press conferences in his final year. I don't believe that's about 3 times as many. And we saw it with Katie Hobbs in Arizona, right, Ashley? She runs for governor against Carrie Lake. She refuses almost all interview requests and would not even debate her opponent. This is unheard of. And yet she's been declared the winner. There's a recount going on, but for now she's the winner. And we saw with John Fetterman in Pennsylvania, Dr. Oz wanted five debates. Fetterman would only agree to one, and that occurred just days before the election after hundreds of thousands of votes were cast. He also avoided the media in every way, shape, or form outside of like MSNBC and in the friendly confines of certain outlets. And despite running from the media and barely debating, he won.
Isn't that kind of thing that you think, well, hell, I think I'm going to announce for president. I'm never going to do any presidential interviews, never going to do any presidential campaign, but I would like you to send me money, send me donations, send me a lot of money, cash preferably. Small denominations would be even better. And I want sequential numbers on them either, because I know that route. And I don't want red dye on them either, because I know that where that came from. I won't be able to use it. But why not? I could run. I could sit right here in this basement and never make another appearance anywhere. I think I could win. What do you think? Well, maybe not? Okay, all right. But here's the real thing we have to deal with. What DeSantis accomplished in Florida in uniting numerous groups that were just absolutely not going to be part of the Republicans, never had in the past. And he did it. Let me share with you, before DeSantis explained some of the other successes they had, a piece written by Ellie Purnell with The Federalist. And she said that 2022 midterms were as much an indictment of bloated national leadership on both sides of the aisle as they were of anything. People didn't vote overwhelmingly for incumbents because they think the country is headed in a good direction. Right, it isn't. Because she said more than 7 in 10 say it isn't. Many Democrats voted for Democrats because they were told Republicans will destroy democracy and enslave women. Republicans largely voted for Republicans because they were fed up with the Biden administration's results, from inflation to transgendering kids. Mainstream Americans have lost faith in Washington. It's what's propelled Trump's outsider win in 2016, now materialized into the heels dug in results of last week's election. And then she goes on to point out none of the GOP midterm momentum was national. They weren't. There's no faith in Mitch McConnell, she points out. Politico observing the gubernatorial candidates were helping carry Senate counterparts. Brian Kemp in Georgia hopefully will help carry Herschel Walker over the line. Shapiro in Pennsylvania definitely helped Fetterman win by 1 point. She said the most momentum anywhere was behind Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, who built his brand on proactive state leadership and pitting his state's success against the Biden administration and especially its COVID bureaucracy. And she adds there was no singular reason for the GOP to flail in the midterms. But the election did at least make this clear. The national establishment GOP has failed to rally behind a resonant, positive national agenda that motivates voters, and it failed to fight effectively enough against the Democrat vote-harvesting machinery that's in place, especially now in some swing states. She nailed it. She nailed it on several points. You want a prime example? Here's DeSantis explaining again what they were able to accomplish in Florida that is history-making.
We won Miami-Dade County, biggest, most urban county in Florida, 70% Latino. And not only did we win it for the first time in 20 years, we won it by 11%. It was a landslide down in Miami-Dade. Not only that, we won Palm Beach County, which has not been run by a Republican for governor in almost 40 years. And we were able to win Palm Beach, which people didn't think was necessarily possible. You look at Osceola County, you know, we flipped that. I mean, a huge swing in our direction. Again, that's a predominantly a Hispanic county. And so I think that what Florida showed is that, the good policies and the good leadership can reverberate just beyond your little silo of the people that agree with you on everything. You know, we had people coming out to vote for us who may not have voted for Republicans in the past. And I think that ultimately is the way forward.
That is the way forward. You have to absolutely abandon your old principles of partisan politics. Now, the problem you're going to face is that often, and I had this discussion with someone the other night. It's a discussion. We're having cigars, drinking some whiskey. It's still a good discussion. Who knew what was being said or who was being more accurate? Bottom line is, we both agreed that you have to abandon old line party politics. The only problem is when most Democrats start talking about, let's compromise on this. They don't mean compromise. Their idea of compromise is you get down and bow before me. That'll be our start at a compromise. No, we can't do that. And it's happening inside their own party. They already know it. Nancy Pelosi being called a racist shortly after the squad was elected, remember? She was being called a racist. Nancy Pelosi being called a racist? And now Hakeem Jeffries and the rest of them are going to take care of that Democrat wing. What do you think they're going to be doing? Well, coming up, we're going to discuss with the Republicans, at least Kevin McCarthy is going to take the gavel from Nancy, not from her cold, dead hands. I thank God she's still alive. I wish her a long life, but get out of the way. But we'll talk about what he says he will do. And then also this special counsel the Attorney General Garland decided to appoint to investigate Donald Trump for criminal activities. And Donald Trump addressed that at this gathering in Mar-a-Lago over the weekend. Oh, he was as usual, Donald Trump.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA. Larry Connors, USA, Facebook.
And they say you don't tug on Superman's cape. You don't spit into the wind. You don't pull a mask off an old Lone Ranger. And you don't mess around with Jim.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
This horrendous abuse of power is the latest in a long series of witch hunts. It started a long time ago. They want to do bad things to the greatest movement in the history of our country, but in particular, bad things to me. But I've gotten used to it. It's lucky. It's lucky. A lot of people wouldn't get used to it so easily. This is a rigged deal, just as the 2020 election was rigged, and we can't let them get away with it. Over the years, I've given millions and millions of pages of documents, tax returns, and everything else, and they have found nothing, which means I've proven to be one of the most honest and innocent people ever in our country.
I know some of you are saying, no, that doesn't prove anything like that. Well, the bottom line is, what has he been convicted of? That would be Zippo. How many times have they tried to go after him and come up with charges? I mean, I've lost count. I can't keep count. I don't know if his legal department probably does because they're billing him. I mean, those guys, they're going to be racking up the bills forever. They have been making a ton of money and everything that's been filed against him in the process. So this special counsel, this got announced the other day as we were beginning to wrap up Friday's program. I didn't have time to really get into it in detail. But the Attorney General named Jack Smith, the former head of the Justice Department's Public Integrity Section, to do the job just days after former President Trump announced he would seek the White House again in 2024. Why? What's the timing? Well, supposedly Garland named this special counsel because he thinks there are two major criminal investigations involving Trump, including his role in events leading up to the January 6th on the Capitol. Okay? Have they shown anything? Do you not believe if they had video, audio, anything that shows Trump saying, go down there and scare the hell out of the legislators and threaten to kill them and everything? If they had that, do you not think they would be using it wall to wall? Of course they would. Oh, and the other criminal charge, handling of sensitive government documents. Didn't Hillary Clinton have a lot of those, even according to FBI Director Comey, on her on her servers that she wasn't supposed to have, her private computers. But he said no reasonable prosecutor would go after these cases. Trump is right. Whether or not you like it, these are clear witch hunts. But what Garland has done is by appointing this special counsel, he's afraid that, well, the charges could lead back that might also wrap up my boss, President Biden, so in some way. So I need my, this will be my hands off. I'm not touching it. BS. Pull the BS card is faster than pulling the yellow card in the World Cup soccer games. And I will discuss that coming up a little bit later. But you cannot believe that that's what he's doing. It's again another political, what do we do to dismantle this guy and his people? I think here's a game plan they might resort to. Just spitballing here a little bit with me. Let me see. If they could figure out, and I mentioned earlier that we got to have, if Trump ran and had DeSantis as his VP, if DeSantis would be willing to stand in Trump's shadow for 2 years, Trump then could say, okay, I'm out of here, and then Ron DeSantis would finish those two and be eligible to run for 2 more 4-year terms. It would be a really good deal. And DeSantis can bring all that red Florida vote into the Trump camp. Because right now, there are more Republicans that are talking about DeSantis and Trump. I know Trump doesn't want to hear that. But here's what the prosecuting and A.G. Garland and all the rest of them looking for all their little thing. Maybe they should decide that, you know, DeSantis, he once visited the Capitol. He probably had something to do with January 6th, too. And he might have received a piece of mail from Trump at some point. Maybe only asking him to send some money to campaign, but maybe we should indict him for that. You see where they will go with this? This is not the yellow brick road going to Oz. It's a crumbled alley leading to a dead end, but they don't care. They don't care. By the way, Kevin McCarthy said that he will keep his promise to bar Congresswoman Omar Swalwell and Schiff from any committee. Good. And we're told they're going to start with prayer every day in Congress. Good. And coming up, the attacks on pro-life centers.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
For some companies, loyalty is a lost word. You give a company your business, your years, but in the end, you're just a number. But at Ackerman Toyota, loyalty is appreciated. Thousands of customers personally know this. New Ackerman customers quickly see it. Loyalty defines Ackerman Toyota for all customers and employees. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Okay, we're having trouble getting our guest. Apparently that last number of that didn't work, or no one answering. It did work, but nobody's answering. No, it's a different thing, not name, than what you have on there. Yeah. Let me know if we'll try again. All right, folks, this is live radio. That happens sometimes. We had a guest scheduled. We've had him on before, and he is a very good guest, so I'm sorry if we don't get him, but we might get somebody to stand in for him at the last minute here. We're talking about, we got the Attorney General's office all over the place. All right, I'll send it to you again there. Uh, Bear with me, folks. I'm trying to get something to Quentin real quick because they apparently are changing people up on me, and we're trying to make sure we get your program here for you. So here's the thing. We already know that the AG's office is already all over everything they can to deal with Trump and any conservatives. And yet they have continually, absolutely continually ignored doing anything about attacks upon pro-life centers. Pro-life centers and the fertility clinics. Where's the argument from the left? And they want to claim and call out every time that we're all about the woman's choice. Well, if women are trying to get pregnant and they want to have a baby, what, they're not allowed to have their choice? As I told you earlier, these folks are not going to be acceptable of anything other than what they tell you will be a compromise. You don't want to buy into that. And we should not be buying into it. But what we have right now, again, like we do with the FBI and the Department of Justice, they're all weaponized right now and being used against Americans for political purposes, which is not what their intent should be. All right, we've got my guest online as Ramona Trevino. Glad to have you back up Carney for us. I appreciate it.
Oh, I appreciate it.
Well, no, we thank you very much. I said, yeah, Sean Carney was supposed to be here. He's CEO and president, 40 Days for Life. And you are the director of outreach for 40 Days for Life, right? Former director of Planned Parenthood. Is that right?
A former
director of Planned Parenthood?
I am, yes.
We're going to take a moment. You're going to have to tell me, you were with Planned Parenthood and now you're with a pro-life group?
I know. God is good.
yes, he is. But give me a synopsis of what happened.
Yeah, so a quick synopsis is that I directed a clinic in Sherman, Texas for 3 years and really started to have a beautiful spiritual conversion towards the end of my tenure, right before the first and last 40 Days for Life vigil showed up outside of my facility. It's been a little bit over 10 years now. And so when they showed up, they prayed me out of the facility. I mean, that's basically how I explain it.
They prayed you out. I want to make sure everybody understood that. You're saying that because they were holding vigils constantly outside and praying for those workers and those inside to reconsider and leave. Am I right?
Yeah. Well, it was their first vigil and the last one because after I left 3 months later, that facility shut down.
You know what? I tell people all the time, I am a firm believer in prayer. We don't always get what we're asking for, and in some cases that's good because God knows better than us. But in this case, must have had friends and coworkers you were with that were thinking, what happened to you? What are you drinking that you suddenly decided you're no longer going to assist in aborting babies or doing anything inside Planned Parenthood? There are a lot of things Planned Parenthood can do with planning and other issues, so forth, so on. But there are other clinics that do that as well. They just don't do abortions. So what was the reaction you got within family and friends among that at that time?
Well, no one that worked with me knew that I was leaving. It was something that I did very quietly. And we were a referral facility, so I think it's important to make that distinction for people because I was really under the impression that I was helping prevent abortions by working at a referral facility, and it became apparent that I wasn't.
Wait a minute. You're at Planned Parenthood, and you think you're helping by referring them to where?
Well, we were referring to our other abortion facilities, you know, because we were a non-abortion facility.
Right.
And so by referring women to the actual surgical centers, somehow I believed that I was not directly involved with abortion. And so I really needed to believe that in order to justify my position. But then it just became very apparent that I was working to create future clients for abortion.
Yeah. Well, thank God for that conversion.
We originally
had Sean scheduled because we're talking about, according to the FBI, Christopher Wray, head of the FBI, 70% of the abortion-related threats of violence in the U.S. since the Dobbs decision are against pro-life groups. 70%.
Right.
That's his statistic
right.
He gave. But at the same time, We don't see them going after those and the Jane movements and others like that between graffiti and arson and everything else. They turn a blind eye to that. But the attacks upon abortion clinics and members is always prosecuted fully. And it's wrong. You should not be attacking an abortion clinic or the people that work there physically and so forth. Praying I'm all about. But how are you ever going to get the word across to people that, you know, this government is now being used to continue to kill unborn?
Right. And I think it's challenging. I think it's a challenge for us moving forward when we do have, you know, a Department of Justice who is, you know, essentially persecuting those in the pro-life movement and conservative groups and things of that nature. And we have a president who, as well, is apathetic and turns a blind eye to it and the whole issue. And it's unfair. You know, it's unfair. And we recognize that on this side, how unjust it is to see, you know, our side being attacked and nothing being done. And then the other side kind of gets away with whatever they want. You know, it can be a challenge for us and disheartening at times because we do see the blatant hypocrisy there.
I'd like your thought on something I've reached in my conclusion. It is not claiming it's wise. It's just that I'm thinking, and I've been thanking God for that extent, that by the providence of God, whether or not folks like Trump, he was in office, and then he did, and that became my big concern about between him and Hillary, who was going to have the appointments of Supreme Court justices. I knew he'd have at least one. He ended up getting three, and they were instrumental in the decision to say Roe v. Wade is not in the Constitution. Send it back to the states. Of course, some states quickly had a trigger law that shut down all abortions or except in case of a woman's life in danger, things of this nature, and others said everything up to the moment of birth. But I still think that the decision itself has already saved hundreds of thousands of babies, because if it was so easy simply to, as I mentioned the other day, to book a pedicure appointment as it was to book an abortion down the street, now it's harder. Maybe they think more about it before they get to the process.
Right. Yeah, and we're seeing too in states where abortion continues to be legal, where, you know, maybe there was a trigger law, for example, that banned it at the heartbeat. And we see that some of our leaders and volunteers have said, you know, for whatever reason, if there was an injunction issued temporarily that allowed it again after that 6 weeks, they've noticed the difference. You know, they saw where no women were going into the abortion facility, and then all of a sudden, bam, you know, they go, there's, you know, this doubling of uptick of the amount of women who are going in. And so we know that these laws really do have an impact on the amount of women that go in for an abortion, and they are saving, you know, countless lives across the country where abortion has been outlawed, like, for example, here in my state, Texas. And so, you know, laws matter, and we're seeing that. We're seeing the effect of that throughout the country.
Ramona, I want to thank you very much for being available at the last minute in place of Sean Carney, and I really appreciate you sharing your story about how you were with Planned Parenthood. Regardless of what division it was, you thought you were doing right until prayer suggested you need to reevaluate. Thank you very much for taking.
Yeah, and just like you said, thank you. Well, I was going to say, just like you said, it affirmed my conviction and belief in power of prayer as well.
All right, thank you very much. Ramona Trevino, appreciate it very much, with 40 Days for Life. Coming up, I told you we would talk about the World Cup, but I've got to spend a little time on this tragedy that happened at a nightclub and some of the details that maybe you had not been getting from state-controlled media. No surprise. Here's exciting news for Cafe Napoli. Soon there will be Napoli Sea. Unique, exquisite, the finest, freshest seafood, lobster, crab, the best caviar. Napoli Sea will be next door to Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles. So it's going to be easy to satisfy your seafood craving or the finest Italian food. Napoli Sea, coming soon. Joining Cafe Napoli, St. Charles, Counting Country, and Clayton.
And I've been taking care of business every day.
is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So we had this tragedy happen the other night at the Club Q in Colorado Springs, Colorado. The shooting suspect opening fire. In fact, I'm going to read it to you as it's presented by CNN on one of their pages, because I want to give you the feeling that they were pointing out and how they're dealing with this thing. What started as a joyous night of laughter and dancing devolved into a scene, yeah, they say devolved, into a scene of terror when a gunman walked into an LGBTQ club and immediately opened fire. And I'm going to have to change some of it because it's so poorly written. But one who's a bartender said, I looked up and saw the outline of a man holding a rifle at the entrance of the club, probably 15 feet from me. I ducked behind the bar. As I did, glass began to spew all around me. He said seconds later, my friend and bar supervisor was fatally wounded. Another 4 killed, 25 others injured in this massacre. That brought up, of course, the remembrance of the 2016 Pulse Gay Club massacre in Orlando, in which 49 at that were killed. In this case, the one being quoted by CNN said, there was a moment in time when I feared I was not going to make it out. I've never prayed so sincerely and quickly in my life. And as I was praying, the gunshots stopped. And you know why they stop? Do you know why they stop? He is quoted as saying, two heroic people managed to subdue the gunman, preventing even greater tragedy. He was on the ground, getting beat up, kicked, and yelled at two very brave people. They are. They had no weapons or guns, but they saw an opportunity, and they took it because they hadn't. Who knows how many would have dead. As I said, it would have been killed. 4 killed, 25 others injured. I don't know their condition at the late check. The suspect has been identified. He's been arrested, and now police are telling us that the suspect's mother told police about a year ago her son was threatening to harm her with a homemade bomb, multiple weapons, and ammunition. And then they found out that he was near his mother's home, and so that's where they found him, no explosives. Supposedly he had bought these guns legally and the ammunition. I don't know the rest, and it'll take a while for it to all sort out. But once again, and make no mistake, this is a tragedy. It's wrong. Somebody that should not have had a gun, if that was going to be their intent. But, of course, outlawing guns and calling out again for bans on assault rifles or whatever else you want to call it, those laws, they don't care about those laws if they're going to forget the first law, and that is, thou shalt not kill. You think the gun and the gun laws are not anywhere in the first commandments, but there is thou shalt not kill. If this is what this intent was, to kill innocent people, I don't care what kind of gun laws you think would make a difference. It won't make any difference. And anybody who thinks it would, and it would, and it would change things, you are absolutely wrong. But Biden is pushing assault weapons ban after the shooting, of course. Oh, then I got a piece from my boots on the ground correspondent in Chicago, Andrew. He was sent me something that Lori Lightfoot put out. You know, Lori Lightfoot of Chicago, the mayor up there. And he said this statement, she said, I guess she's not sick enough of crime to actually take it seriously. Nice to know she's sick to some degree. And what it is, she had put out in an attachment that her piece read, let me see if I can make it bigger. It's a little bit small on this thing. She basically was making some comments about the shooting, which certainly she's entitled to. But when she was putting her comments down, it was like, this is such a terrible thing. Like, we've never had anything like this in Chicago. Her exact statement, as Andrew sent it to me, and she had put out, I'm sick of this S. How many people need to be murdered? How many lives torn apart until it actually stops? We don't have to live like this. We don't have to die like this. This is Lori Lightfoot in Chicago, where they had, I think the last check I saw was 25 to 30 shootings this last weekend, 22 shot this last weekend. I don't know how many of those were fatal. But she is quick to point out the attack at an LGBTQ club, and that she is a member of that LGBTQ community. But suddenly I'm sick of this. You should be sick of it for your own people to begin with and do things there. And that is enforce police, bring police more availability and more funding. And then get rid of those prosecutors letting everybody out of jail. All right, I said I'd mention the World Cup. And here's what it is. First of all, the U.S. is in play right now against Wales. And some of the latest reports, this game started about 30 minutes ago. I'm getting a report here that the U.S. is, if you're watching, you're not even paying attention anyway. U.S. is dominating and going against Wales. Then a writer for Wales said, this is Welsh anthem, Land of My Fathers, being played. It's bringing, you know, tears and everything. First time we've been in the cups for 50 years. And then we had a large number of European nations that were going to wear pro-LGBTQ armbands in Qatar, Islamist Qatar, and the World Cup. They're not allowing Budweiser beer to be sold. And those players quickly realized, yeah, that would not be a good idea. So they didn't.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors, USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.